You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it to you.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way, because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
I thought you were going to say, hello, brother. And I was going to say, hello. Before this, we were
watching an interview.
Yes.
We were watching an interview.
Mm. What is his name?
His name is Jamie Campbell
Bauer.
We've
just brought him into this show.
And he plays Vecna in the new season of Stranger Things.
And we've just brought that into our
yes.
show.
And we were on Instagram. I was on Instagram before we started recording. And they posted a short snippet of him doing ADR. And he's got a really deep voice when he's doing his Vecna voice. And then I was showing Ryan what he actually sounds like in real life. And he was like, well, I was here with my brother.
There you go.
And then that's why Ryan thought I was going to start the show with
I'm buying
that.
Time while I get my notes.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Nice, Ryan.
Bing. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, take
good
two
to
officially.
Go.
All right. What is up?
Hey, hello.
This is the movie show.
On your favorite?
Radio station / podcasting service, Active FM.
Where radio has never been better.
Right.
My name is Ryan.
I'm Sesh.
And welcome.
Yeah, and today we are going to be reviewing a Netflix film, 2022 Netflix film, called The Man from Toronto. And it's also Sony.
Yes, I saw this. I was like, yes. And I noticed the Sony phones. That's how you know a movie is sponsored by Sony.
Because
they throw a whole lot of phones in there.
I didn't pick that up, actually. Yeah. That's cool, though.
Yeah. Hmm. Must be because I'm a Sony fanatic.
That's like, you remember with Knives Out, they used iPhones.
Yeah.
And...
yes.
Apple always, with every film, if you use an iPhone in your film, there's a contract you have to sign that your villain is not allowed to use an iPhone. So every person that uses an iPhone in Knives Out, actually, you know, just from that they weren't the killer because they use an iPhone. So
there's a good tip for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm. So yes.
Yeah. So this is an action comedy. It was a solid action comedy. Like, that is the best way to describe this film. It was an action comedy.
Is there a, like, you get a rom-com? Is it a act-com? A-com?
A-com.
A-com.
I don't know. I just know it's an action comedy. Yeah.
All right.
So director is Patrick Hughes. Now, I didn't know what other movies he directed. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. He directed both films. So the first one was The Hitman's Bodyguard. And then the second one, which came out last year, was The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. Yes. Which I haven't watched either of.
Me neither.
But I actually want to go watch.
But now we know what
yeah.
we're up for.
I know Ryan Reynolds is in it, which I always enjoy Ryan Reynolds. I yeah. know The Rock. Is The Rock in them?
I don't know.
No, Samuel L. Jackson is in them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is it?
And then Salma Hayek is in the second one. So she's, I think, the wife of the Hitman. Yeah, the bodyguard of the Hitman's wife. Never mind, I'm stuffing this up. You go, she plays the wife.
Good to know.
She plays the female lead role in that one.
Some woman in that movie.
Although, I must be honest, after seeing that, I haven't watched the film, so I may be giving them credit for nothing. But I personally feel like this film was almost like a copy of those type of films, and maybe like those films are better than this film. I don't know, because this film was a good action comedy, but what most action comedies have are like very sad storylines. The main thing is about making you laugh and about having stuff blowing up. For me, like, that's the
and somebody's
got to
get someone,
yeah,
and they have to die. They must die.
But then also at the same time, the stakes are high, but at the same time, you're not like sitting there panicking.
They have to die. If they don't die, you die. So someone has to die.
But at the same time, you're like laughing at them while they're trying to stay alive.
Right.
It's not like it's not like ambulance.
What is it? What is it? The Hitman's Bodyguard.
I'm even talking about this film now. But yeah. the Hitman's Bodyguard and the Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard are also action comedies.
So are they also like, is there comedy in those ones as well?
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds would definitely be the other one that interested me, though, because this one is different, is he also directed The Expendables 3.
Oh,
I didn't know that. That was 2014.
There's definitely a similarity in the movies that he does.
The the action for
action,
me that
comedy,
that
comedy, yeah.
But The Expendables wasn't so much comedy, like, for example, as this one. Like, for me, this one was more driven
wasn't
by comedy.
Wasn't the... Okay, yeah, driven. If you're talking about that being more in this film, yes, definitely. Because there's... there was the... what was his name? The guy from Texas, the unsuspected stranger...
The man from Miami.
No, now I'm talking about... No, I'm not talking about in this movie. I'm talking about a character. I'm talking about... Chuck Norris.
Oh, Chuck Norris.
Remember the Chuck Norris part in the Expendables?
I think, was that the third one though?
I don't remember.
I think that
was
the second one.
Yeah.
The third one was the one where Mel Gibson was the villain.
I don't know.
I don't remember the films perfectly enough to be like. Oh. But I know like those ones are very action driven because they even get like, I mean, they got Sylvester Stallone, they got Arnold Schwarzenegger, they got like all of the big action.
Yeah.
Film stars.
It's all the heavies.
Yeah, the heavies.
All the heavy guys.
Yeah. So the budget for the film was $75 million. And because it was released on a streaming site, obviously box office, yeah. But what I do know is when I went on to Netflix to watch it, it is in the... So in South Africa, it's number one. Because, you know, on Netflix, they'll have a top 10 films in South Africa. It was number one last night
really?
When I went to watch it. Yeah.
Awesome.
So I think it is doing pretty well on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay.
So that is The Man from Toronto. Mm. The cast was interesting. Obviously, Kevin Hart was in it. Mm. And as soon as Kevin Hart's in it, you're like, okay, this is what this type of movie is going to be like.
Yeah.
He's one of those where...
Panic mechanic.
Yeah.
The guy's like panicking and he like doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I must say for me, this was a... the three quarters of the film was really well balanced. I loved it. Because in the beginning, you're hoping it's not one of those... He has to go out and do this job, and like he doesn't know what he's doing, and he looks like an idiot. I was like, please don't tell me, because it's I don't like those kind of films.
You're cringing.
It's like a Mr. Bean type of thing.
Yeah, yes.
You're just like, oh, come on.
I don't know if you ever watched Princess Diaries.
Probably
with Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
She's cringe. You're just like, it wasn't like that.
I was really hoping that the man from Toronto would come to rescue, and then I was like, yes. And I was like, yay, yeah, he's here. And then he like, and then he like wants to work with him. I'm like, oh, okay, this is okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
So it was. And can I tell you what I loved about this film? It was an action-packed like all the hardcore, and there were two swear words twice when they swore. Yeah.
Are you sure?
I was just like, yeah. Well, those are the two that I heard. And trust me, my ears are like waiting for the swear words. Eh? Like the minute, bing, I'm like, yep, there you go.
There were only two swear words.
There were only two. And they were quick. Very fast.
Was it the pig one?
I think, yes. And before that.
Can't remember the button.
Yeah, it was very quick. It was...
What was nice about the film was there was no nudity.
Yes.
You never had to
change
it.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it really... But when I started watching the film... Obviously, Netflix has the age restrictions and whatever come up as you start watching the film.
Yeah.
It was PG-13, which I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I think they said that violence and language. Those were the two. Obviously, there is quite a bit of violence in the film. And then language. Yeah.
I cannot imagine how do you control... Because from the interviews that I've seen with Kevin Hart, that guy swears like a trooper.
Oh, no, he really does shame.
And I'm sure that there are times where the actor has to improvise. And I'm quite surprised. I'm willing to put down like $50 that there were parts that they had to cut out.
Yeah, no, definitely.
They were like, okay, I don't really want, you know.
Well, they'd have to choose. Do they want, if they wanted the PG-13 age restriction, then they would have cut a lot of it out.
Go.
And I saw behind the scenes like bloopers and stuff like that where maybe that's why I was like, really? He only swear twice because in the B-roll,
and it wasn't even
he was swearing.
Hart. Yeah.
All of them were swearing.
Yeah.
At one point, his middle finger was up, everything.
No.
So I think they did cut a lot of the improvisation a lot of it. Maybe they just chose specifically so that they could make the film PG-13. Because, it depends on, I suppose, what the director and the film production company are looking for. If it's PG-13, they'll have a wider audience, which means you could bring in like more money, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So they probably just cut it out. Mm. Otherwise, you can't have a PG-13. You have to take it to 16 or 18 plus to Yeah.
That's actually crazy because if you look on Netflix, like, it's difficult to get a film without nudity, without swearing.
You know what irritates me? I feel like Netflix needs to bring out censored versions. So they need to, they should, like, subtitling, you should be able to turn on a family mode version of audio where it blocks out swear words. Mm. And then also, like, you should have the clean cut and then the explicit cut. Or they should, do you understand what I'm saying?
How difficult should that be?
It wouldn't be difficult.
You guys
at
can
all.
Create jobs, man. Come on.
Exactly.
You can get like two people in there. One to do the visual beeping. Cleaning and the other one to do the audio cleaning.
You know, should we call them audio cleaner?
Exactly.
Video cleaner.
And that's easy. You just like pull it into a timeline. You get a bleep sound effect. You pull it in the timeline. And
or
then,
just silence it. You don't even have to pull
and
anything.
You watch. Actually, yeah, that's true. The side. And all you do, you sit there and you watch and you're like, whoa, okay, hang on.
Like, that's the best job in the world. I'll do that. Pay me to do that.
Volume down.
I will do that.
Move on.
Specifically the swearing one, the nude one. Like, I don't know if I really want to.
I can imagine status meeting. I've got a problem with this film because for about 13 minutes.
District 9 was like that, literally watching it on DSTV for a good 5 minutes because he literally just kept saying the F word over and over again.
And
you're sitting there, it's just silent. What are you watching? I'm watching District 9. Why is there no sound? He's swearing.
And I'm sure it was in the midst of an action scene. So it's like.
So they're like, wait, should we just cut like all of it or should we like keep the jolting between. Shame, okay, wait, it depends on the film. That person's
did we get out? Did we get out? Oh!
No!
Did you just say...
What the... Like, oh my god.
You see?
No, but I actually literally have memories of watching DSTV like that. It's not even a joke. Because DSTV wouldn't put like bleeps. They would silence it, which I think I prefer because like the bleeps can be irritating.
They can be irritating.
Yeah, so...
Silence is better.
Yeah, shame. It was okay. Yeah. Woody Harrelson also was in the film, and I must say I
like
do enjoy him as an actor.
He's got
a very wide range. Like if I think about him in Hunger Games, then in The Highwaymen, which was a brilliant film with Kevin Costner. Yeah. Like he's got a very, very wide range. Mm. So I enjoyed him. I personally can't think of a film where he was like this.
Have you seen his interviews? Like seen him in like I think The Highwaymen and there's other films I've seen him in where he's like quite a tough guy. He actually makes a really good tough guy.
I know he does.
Then you see him in an interview and he reminds you of, was it Hunger Games?
Yeah, Haymitch.
Hunger Games where he's just this like really
casual
He's just very casual, like chilled guy type of thing, big smile on his face constantly the whole time. So for him to be like really tough, like especially the end of the film where you see him, he's a bit more chilled, he owns a restaurant and And then he gets tough and he puts on his tough face.
And he's good with his face.
That's what I'm saying.
Even in the elevator, there's that one scene in the elevator where he's actually mocking Kevin Hart, but he pretends to be angry. What he does with his face, you're just like... And it's like he changes immediately and laughs. You're like, oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay, so he's a good actor. Woody Harrelson. He's got a far bigger range than Kevin Hart does. Kevin Hart is just Kevin Hart. Yeah. You're just watching Kevin Hart in an action
this
comedy.
Is the, whenever they appear, they act the same.
Yeah. Kevin Hart's one of those actors, whereas Woody Harrelson is. And, you know, I think it does sometimes work when you have that dynamic. So, like, when you have a person who's always themselves and then you actually have, like, a proper actor. So, for example, like, Red Notice, you had The Rock, who is himself. In every
the
film.
Rock plane is
and
the rock.
Brings a jungle with him in every film.
Yes.
But anyway, and then you had Ryan Reynolds Ryan Reynolds sort of can be the same, but he can act. He does have a better range. Mm. Like if you watch him in Free Guy, he really brought across that like Avatar. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
He does have like a better range than The Rock does. So I think that was, what I loved about the film, so the concept was very original. I must give it to them. The concept of the film was very original. We do have a lot of films where there's identity theft or like mistaken identity. This was more mistaken identity. But this one was very original in the way that like just the whole thing played out and the fact that there were hitmen in like every city or like Japan or whatever. So that was quite cool. What I loved about the film though was that Kevin Hart had more fear of his wife
Crazy.
Than he did of anyone else. I was finished because I was like, that's realistic in a way.
That was the balance to the film.
Yeah.
I liked that.
So like, that's almost what made it more like realistic, because he was like, dude, I don't care if you're going to kill me. I'm scared of my wife. You can do what you want to me, but I need to be home by 7 o'clock tonight for dinner. Otherwise, I am dead.
Yeah.
Which is very realistic. So I like how they, and for me, it was comedic as well. They brought out,
it was
funny. It, he's the dude's like, you're not married. You can't possibly be married.
And he was.
This dude's out here like fearing for his life because his wife is going to either kill him or leave him. And I think that was his biggest fear, was being left by his wife.
Well, he stuffed up another one of her birthdays.
Teddied it up.
Again. Teddied it up.
Yeah.
Great.
Now, this is insane. So Woody Harrelson, right? His father, Charles Harrelson, was a real life hitman.
Really?
Yeah. He received two life sentences for assassinating federal Judge J.H. Wood Jr. in 1979. Woody Harrelson turned out well for that fact, I must say. Went to his dad, was like, okay, dad, need some tips, you know, I'm playing a hitman. You know,
I believe it is more like this. Dad, I'm playing a hitman. Oh, my son.
I'm so proud of you. Oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
Finally, you're doing something with your life.
Also, Woody Harrelson was actually, he replaced Jason Statham in this film.
Perfect.
I thought was a good idea because we've seen Jason in this role time and time again.
Yeah.
So
I can't see him being too likable. I mean, he can, but...
He can't switch
not,
like that.
Not like Woody Harrelson. Yeah. Because Woody Harrelson, like, he really softened up.
Yes, he did.
Hey, and you know what's crazy? We still don't know what his name is.
Yes, he's the man from Toronto. Yeah. No one knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, when the man from Toronto, Harrelson, is fixing breakfast, he cuts open and prepares durian fruit. Now, durian fruit has been described as the most foul-smelling fruit in the world. Its aroma has been compared to raw sewage, rotting flesh, and smelly gym socks. So that, like, just added to his character, like, even more. Like, either he can't smell or he's not
bothered.
Is that
why they're, like, really... Because I noticed they really focused, punctuated on the fruit.
I think so. Because I think... I obviously didn't know that. So, like, I just noticed. I was like, okay, fruit. He's healthy, you know. I don't know. But not just... Yeah.
Cutting it with his knife. Yeah. Plus, he's a chef kind of guy.
Yeah.
So he, you know,
which was actually clever how they did that, because you didn't know at that point that he wanted a restaurant. Mm. They only brought that in at the end, and now you're like, oh, okay. What I didn't like about the film was the storyline. So for me, like I said, it's an action comedy film, and action comedy, I think they're not looking for a strong storyline. They're more looking for action and comedy and whatever happens in between, you know, as long as it makes sense, because now he's from here to here and the car explodes here. And, you know, it was just about getting him to where the car explodes type of thing. And then also comedy, often you're focused more on trying to make the audience laugh than follow like a concrete storyline. So from like a storyline perspective, I wouldn't say it's the greatest.
It's the entertainment thing again, hey?
Yeah.
Where it's like the comedy's like just entertaining, but the depth of the film, like something.
It's a shallow film, shallow storyline that will make you laugh and keep you entertained as you watch cars blow up.
I saw an interview with the director, and the guy doing the interview basically also, What is the life story, the true meaning behind this film? You know, identity, you know, follow your passions, your dreams, don't give up, wada wada. And you could see the director was just like, not really anything.
We just want to make people laugh.
And then he just went into the characters and he just went into
he avoided the question.
Yeah, he did. And I was just like, okay.
And that does come through. I'm not bashing the film when I say that, because there is a whole film genre dedicated to making a film like that, which is action comedy. You don't have to go into like, obviously if you're wanting to, I must be honest, I'm really missing, you know when you watch a film like The King, like that film's a brilliance, or like Ready Player One, where you're just blown away and surprised and in awe, and but also the way they tell the story, like a Guy Ritchie film, a good Guy Ritchie film, where it might even be like a simple story, but the way they've presented it to you in such a brilliant way that, do you understand what I'm saying? You're just like, oh, that was so good. Like I'm missing that from films.
Well, there was nothing to connect to. I mean, I've never met a hitman. And
never wanted to.
My wife's birthday was this last week. I didn't mess it up.
There we go. Good run.
So it was just like, okay, good. He made it.
For me, my favorite scene, I think. What was this, my favorite scene? I think what I enjoyed.
There's one scene I want to talk about, yeah?
What I enjoyed was, like, they did bring across, like, an interesting thing to think about. So, obviously, when Kevin Hart steps in, they all think he's the man from Toronto. And there's such a big reputation around the man from Toronto that they all hold him in such high esteem and fear because of his reputation.
Even if he's talking junk, they'll just shut up and
but
listen.
But now Kevin Hart was like completely off from that. But like, just because, like, I wondered if in real life you thought this person was this person, and because of the reputation they had, would you be like okay with him not acting like a hitman just because, like, you've heard like, oh, maybe this is how he does it, you know? Like that I was intrigued by. Maybe it's not 100% realistic, because maybe they would have been like,
didn't they hear that he has odd methods? That's
maybe they were
we heard you got odd methods. Okay.
Like
Kevin pulled it off.
He did.
That's the crazy. That's the part that I loved. It was the you know, away from the Mr. Bean thing, and it was more towards oh my word, he actually got it right
in a very weird way. But like, the scene for me was the vomiting scene. Yep. That scene, I was laughing at that. I think that was my favorite part.
Well, there you go.
In the whole film,
there it is.
That was. Oh my goodness.
Just threatened to puke on someone.
And now
you better talk or else.
I'm Mr. Green. And also, I loved how you think that Woody Harrelson chopped the guy's finger off.
Yeah, he's a softy, man.
Yes. And then at the end, you realize he didn't. He obviously just told the other guy, which was smart. He told the guy to scream and act as if he was chopping the finger off.
Yeah.
So that Kevin Hart thought he did chop the finger off.
I think he just wanted the money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, he literally was, he wasn't out there to kill. Yeah. He was more out there for himself. But, it's a good film. Yeah. The storyline, it's a pretty standard storyline.
I felt the end was sort of just like, okay, let's end the film now.
Possibly, yeah.
That's how I felt.
And also, the fight scenes for me were more comedic than action, if I could word it like that. Like, there were some times where it looked fake or, you know, something happened and it was just like, okay, he wouldn't have survived that. Or, do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
did the CG bother you?
Sometimes.
It bothered me.
Yeah.
I was just like, no, come on, guys. Obviously, it was done in-house. Like, hey, Joe, do you know how to get that stock footage and then just like do some rotoscoping and just get, sure, boss, I can do it. No problem. Can you just, it's not working. Can you, it's the flames, isn't it? It needs to be more orange. Okay, let's make it more orange. Okay, cool. Like when the plane explodes, I was just like, no.
And when the two pieces of the plane land, that was just like.
Yes, I was like, stock footage.
Like, they didn't even react to it.
Not even stock footage. It was just, it was so badly.
Yeah, no.
Composited.
And also, the actors didn't, there was no, because like in my mind, if something falls behind you, you're going to like do.
Yeah, they just carry on.
Yeah, Kevin Hart, okay, maybe the man from Toronto is so buff and stuff that he didn't, but like Kevin Hart definitely would have, and he didn't.
Even if you're buff and stuff, like.
Your reflex,
Why aren't you dead by now? Because you're careful.
Yeah,
the plane explodes and they just like walk off.
I feel like they in the editing there, they were just like, oh guys, wouldn't it be funny if two pieces of the plane like just fall? Yeah, it's a good idea, I'll do it. Like it kind of felt like that.
It was probably too clean, so they were like, okay, let's just throw it. And like the size, like the perspective, I was just like, okay, moving right along, get it, action.
That's what I'm saying. This film was very comedy driven.
Yeah.
So you almost get like, you get different types of films within the action comedy genre. You get films that are more action driven, which I think I prefer, where there's like good action, but and then there is humor.
So,
you know?
So one genre must like overpower the other.
Yes, overpower the other. Yeah. Whereas with this one, the comedy definitely was driving it.
And the difference between a comedy and action is a huge, there's a huge, because an action can, I mean, a comedy can often be like pretty stupid, pretty dwarf, pretty, you know.
The CG's not, doesn't have to be great.
It's just like, okay. Although, hey, sometimes they do set extensions and you're like, was that a set extension? No way, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
In an interview with the director, the director's original idea was actually a Western. Because if you look at he said this is where actions actually originate from.
Yeah, definitely.
Because what happens is an unknown guy steps into town and he's like the bad guy, you know. And if you think about it, whenever you saw the guy from Toronto, he was by himself there in the suit. Yeah. And he was almost coming out of the silhouette type of thing. And then, he tried to carry that idea still completely through. So the last, I loved what they did with the fight in the gym. Did you get the whole one camera, theme? But I don't know if you noticed the cuts, because apparently it was 32 different takes, that one shot, and they stitched it together. But for me, just to bring that, because if they had shot that normal with all the different camera changes, for me it would have been like, okay. And this was obviously like the wrap up fight.
Yeah.
So I loved what they did. I don't know if they were rushed for time, or if they were rushed for money or anything like that. That they decided, okay, guys,
let's make it. Although
32 takes, no, that's impossible. But the feel, you can like. Yeah. It was actually a very raw, very loose feel. But I was enjoying it.
Yeah, I liked it as well.
The whole part, I was actually laughing the whole time.
I think what also made it nice was it almost made it more realistic.
Yeah.
Because, you know how sometimes in a fight, this person's being like beaten up. Then you cut to this person, you're like, wait, but he'd be dead by... And then you kind of, you're just like, why is it taking so long? Whereas this one, you kind of, you were jumping in between Kevin Hart and... Yeah. So you saw like... This one ran off in that direction and then the camera focused up, but then it turned around and then you're like, oh, okay. So it didn't feel like the other actors were waiting around for the camera to turn to them.
Yeah. I almost feel it was like all these bad guys on a jumping castle together.
Yes.
Because literally, like one kicks the other one over, then the other comes in. And then like the guy's like axing the guy up the stairs trying to get... I'm just like, oh.
How was it when Woody Harrelson, he took the saw... No, do you know what I'm talking about? He took the saw. You didn't see anything, but you heard the guy screaming. I was like, I don't think he cut off his hair.
Oh, yes. He's right on top of the stairs.
That was brutal. Yeah. That
for me, I was just like, okay, good film.
The only thing for me was, you know, he then goes outside and then that guy's about to fall off the building. Like in my mind, Woody Harrelson was just going to like kick him off.
Oh, yeah.
Instead, he like tackles him and flies off the building. I was like, why would you do that?
And the drop.
Why would you? They obviously needed to get downstairs again. So that was their simple way of it. But I was just like,
that was crazy.
Would he have jumped in real life?
And would he have gotten up so easy?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, no, definitely not. Would have just kicked him. It's like, nah!
Because if you go down with that guy, I'm sure you're going to get badly injured as... Ooh, can you
imagine?
And actually
use him as a cushion. But still...
But even with that, he could impact...
Like, yeah, ooh, shame. And he could flip it around.
Exactly. So, well, yeah, that's also true. What if Woody Harrelson was a bit more heavier? Although... Would he have?
Yeah. Sure. But it's a good entertaining film.
It is a good film. Definitely anybody and everybody should watch it.
Yeah.
Remember only two swear words. And they're quick.
Yeah.
Although I'm willing to go and get the movie uploaded to Google Drive. Guys, the censored version. We will put the link. No, I'm just joking. I'm not going to put the link below. That's totally illegal if I do that.
Yeah, that is. Somebody's going to sue us. We'll get kicked off YouTube, you know. Don't want to do that.
Yeah. Next week's movie show, you'll see like two chairs just sitting. And then there's a sign. It was his idea. Don't know why I'm not here.
With a face.
No.
Yeah. But this has been the movie show.
Great film.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week with another, hopefully a good film. Hopefully a film where we both like, oh, this film was beautiful.
All we need is for Sashi to pick the movie and then we're good.
No, the problem is the films that have come out this year, Ryan, suck.
Comment below.
Comment. Please give us film suggestions, nice film suggestions.
Yeah. In fact, 5 seconds for them to comment. So go ahead. We'll wait for you.
Right.
So, guys, signing out.
Yeah. See you next week. Peace.
Cheers.
The most amazing presenter.
For all your favorite shows.
It's all on Active FM.
Radio has never been better.